the Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, it is 1985 on a Throwback Thursday. On this date at Rupp Arena in Lexington, Villanova upset Georgetown. It's considered one of the greatest upsets in NCAA finals history. Still holds true 36 years later. An 8 seed winning it all. We have not seen a 9, 10, 11, 12. We haven't seen any of those win a championship since 1985. Some good music, too, from that era, if you kind of grew up in that era. So the Final Four coming up this weekend. Again, Baylor taking on Houston. We'll be talking to Joe Duarte. Coming up next from the Houston Chronicle on this incredible transformation of not only a program that once had the glories of Phi Slamma Jamma, Clyde Drexler, Hakeem Olajuwon, to a program that was in shambles and a coach whose career was in shambles, and yet somehow they found each other and now they're in the Final Four. Kelvin Sampson, a Oklahoma coach, an Indiana coach, and had problems at both, NCAA on his tail. He ended up with a 5-year show clause. He could not coach in college basketball, did some time in the NBA, worked with the Rockets, and then was itching to get back into the college game once he was eligible to do so. Was looking around, didn't seem to be any interest except this one program in his hometown that was looking for a rebirth and looking to get its program back up and running. Had terrible facilities, didn't have any fan interest, and was a program that was in dire need of a coach like Kelvin Sampson, who could coach. There was no question. Kelvin Sampson could coach basketball. The problems were that his issues of recruiting followed him from Oklahoma to Indiana and then became problematic for the NCAA. So he's looking for sort of a rejuvenation of his career. He's looking, and the program's looking for a rejuvenation as well. And the two meet, and now here we are. But they'll be going up against a Baylor team that has been excellent from day one. Gonzaga and Baylor had been 1-2 for most of the year. There was a period of time in late February where Michigan popped up as the number 2 seed. Baylor popped down. I think one of the most important games on the Baylor calendar during the regular season was when they went to West Virginia and won in overtime against the Mountaineers. It was a time they had spent a bunch of time on this COVID absence. You know, COVID was on their tail, and they didn't play well coming out of that gate until they beat West Virginia. So that's the task that is ahead for Houston. Joseph Duarte joins us from the Houston Chronicle. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
Look, we were just talking about this program in terms of Kelvin Sampson, in terms of Houston. It seems like a story of a program needing a rejuvenation, a coach that needed a second chance at his career. They come together as one. Give us an idea of how that actually happened.
Well, you know, back in 2014, Kelvin Sampson was an assistant in the NBA with the Houston Rockets. He had just completed the 5-year show cause penalty from the NCAA for the violations that occurred at Oklahoma and Indiana. So, you know, it was kind of a crossroads what he was going to do with his career. And, you know, he told us the story. You know, he always felt like he was a college coach, but he also wanted to give the NBA a try. And his father passed away shortly before he took the Houston job, and basically told him, look, you're a college coach. You need to get back into the game. And at the time, Houston was looking for a coach, and as Kelvin Sampson put it, Houston needed him, but he needed them as well. And it sort of just worked out where it was a perfect match at the time. And he came in, and they pretty much gave him what he wanted in terms of, you know, resources. And it, the rest is, it's sort of just been a storybook building of a rebuilding of a once proud program.
It's funny because there's a program that has had success in the 80s, Phi Slamma Jamma, and people remembered those Houston teams. But then it kind of disappeared from the college basketball landscape. They could have gotten somebody. They could have gone out and gotten some people interested in the job, a young coach. Why Kelvin Sampson? Why take the gamble on a guy that had some problems at both Oklahoma and Indiana?
Well, Mac Rhodes, who was the AD at the time, who happens to be the AD at Baylor now, you know, they sat down. And, you know, they listened to Kelvin Sampson's plan. And then at the same time, they said, look, this guy kind of, you know, he paid his penance and he deserves a second chance. And you're Houston at the time and you're looking at your options. And he was the best one. And, you know, he came with baggage, obviously, but he also came with the track record of winning. And he was right there down the street. So it's sort of, you know, yeah, they had a search. But I don't think it was a very long or an extensive one, because they felt like if they could get a guy of Kelvin Sampson's caliber to take the job, you know, they could end that cycle or hopefully end that cycle of having to change coaches out every 2, 3, or 4 years, because that's part of what got them into this deal. You know, they changed coaches a lot there. There was no support from the administration, the fan base. It was just a horrible situation, and you had to sell Kelvin Sampson on that. He said he wasn't listening to sort of what he didn't have, but what they could offer, and you know, in terms of the facilities and stuff. And he said the worse the program was, the more enticing the job was.
So give us an idea from this season. They obviously earned a 2 seed, so they had been in the public light in terms of rankings all season. People are getting familiar with Quentin Grimes in this tournament. What defines Kelvin Sampson and Houston Cougar basketball in 2021?
Defense, rebounding, you know, those are simply the things that have followed him everywhere, every team he's had. At Houston has been based, and the foundation is defense, rebounding, taking care of the ball. And then you look at, you know, this is just a different year. I mean, with COVID and overcoming so much, you didn't know from 1 week or one game to another if it would even be played. You know, they had all 15 players at some point, test positive. The player of the year in the conference decides he doesn't want to play here anymore, so he leaves. So many different things that they went through, but the constant and everything is that they are one of the best defensive teams in the country, and they're one of the best rebounding teams in the country. Those two things pretty much offset the fact that they're not a great shooting team, but they get so many opportunities and so many chances that it balances out. It's kind of who they are. They, instead of being a blue blood, they say, they would rather be blue collar.
Is Houston in the city, is it loaded with the kind of NCAA Division I talent? Is it a good recruiting city for Sampson to tap into?
It is, and the problem in the past is you've had all that talent go elsewhere. You know, I think all the way back to guys like T.J. Ford, who left the city. You had a bunch of guys that went to Duke, Justice Winslow, guys like that who ended up winning national championships elsewhere. And now he's able to get those guys. Now, with that said, Quentin Grimes went to Kansas and then transferred back home. But, you know, he's not looking, he is looking for the five-star guys, but the ratings don't matter to him. He's more about developing. He feels like he can get a guy who fits his system and mold him into the player that will ultimately play like a five-star guy for him down the road versus a guy that, you know, he says he likes to play those guys through the five-star that sort of are the one-and-done, maybe not as much as a team player. Those are the guys he wants to play against. And, you know, he's done a good job of keeping talent in. Tremont Mark is from nearby Dickinson. Fabian White is from Atascocita. But he's also gone the transfer route. Some of the best players right now are from other places that they started their career. The Dejon DeRose and the Bryson Greshams were from New Orleans. The Justin Gorham was from Maryland. So, you know, he's had Reggie Chaney was from Arkansas. So it's been a mixture, but he stays inside the city limits when he needs to.
If this is a 1-2 matchup, so this is not like a 1-6 or a 1-6, it doesn't feel like, it shouldn't be a, you know, a David versus Goliath situation that we would want to talk about. But in the sense, Baylor has been an outstanding team all year that has been on top of the rankings, sharing, you know, the 1-2 spot with Gonzaga. So maybe the gap does feel for a lot of people that there is a gap between these two teams. How do you see this team match up against Baylor?
No doubt, you know, the whole season everyone has looked at Gonzaga and Baylor as the two teams that are head and shoulders above the rest. But, you know, people, I think automatically they discount Houston simply because of the road that they've traveled in the tournament.
Right.
The Midwest region was so filled with, you know, upsets. But, you know, Dejon DeRose said, look, that's not our fault. We played the games that were scheduled for us, you know, they didn't tell number one Illinois not to lose, or Oklahoma State or West Virginia. So that sort of, I think, skews things a little bit. But you're right. I mean, you look at these two teams. Baylor just been kind of a, when they're on, and then they kind of went into the tournament a little bit, coming off the long pause and stuff, where you wondered, how would they respond? How would they play? And they've been great. And you look at Houston, it's sort of been, they've needed the game against Rutgers to advance, that comeback there. But for a 1-2, it does feel like a little bit lopsided, but at the same time, I don't put anything past Houston at this point. They have gotten here for a reason. 28 wins doesn't come, easy. And while there haven't been a lot of huge wins on their schedule, I think they can match up with Baylor from a defensive. It should be a great defensive game, because Baylor is just simply really good at that, among other things. So, I think it'll be fun, because it's an old Southwest Conference game. I think a lot of interest will be in it. It certainly will be the best game of the semifinals, and Texas can at least lay claim that they're going to have one team playing for a national championship on Monday. Now, would it be a surprise if it's Houston? Probably, but I've seen crazier things happen this season.
And even though Houston did not win a national title, people do remember those 80s teams. And in college, those kind of memories last a very, very long time. How much of that feeling is in the city? How much do people who were around at that time still cling on to Phi Slamajama and the Cougars of the day?
Well, currently, I wish I knew. I've been in Indianapolis for about 16 days.
That's so true.
I'm not quite sure what the vibe is back home. I know what the vibe is in my household, that it's dad needs to get home pretty soon. But as far as, and I told some people this week, there's this history, and the people forget that, Elvin Hayes was part of the first two back to back Final Fours back in the 60s.
Yeah.
And that sort of gets overlooked. Kelvin Sampson put that, you honor your past, but you kind of play in the moment. And I think that's where sort of this week, you've seen a lot of the narratives, people going back and interviewing Akeem and Michael Young and Reed Guest and all the Phi Slamajama. That's great. But it's about this team. It's their story. This is not Phi Slamajama 2.0. It is about the program and sort of now maybe the resurrection being completed, the rebuild now being there. But totally different. I laughed at it the other night. This team didn't dunk one time. Phi Slamajama would have dunked five times in the first minute of a game. So, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot of buzz simply because it hasn't been done since then. But now people moving forward, will the story will change that, this is the first time they're doing it since that 2021 team. And I think that's a good step, because this university, while it's proud and it's a great moment, has lived off of the Phi Slamajama legacy for a long time. And that means you haven't gone anywhere since. And hopefully now, what they've done is sort of the next chapter for them. And maybe it includes a national championship and not another Lorenzo Charles moment or
that's
a Patrick Ewing matchup.
Yeah.
So it should be interesting.
Well said. Joseph Duarte, again, Houston Chronicle. Enjoy the Final Four, and we'll check to you soon. Thank you so much for your insight. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
You got it. It was a lot of fun. Joseph Duarte on the Houston Cougars, a team, again, that if you're following college basketball, you may know all about Gonzaga, you may know all about Baylor, a little UCLA fun, but this Houston team is, like we said, it's in the AAC, it's a conference a lot of people don't watch, a lot of people don't pay attention to, but this has been a team that's been in the rankings pretty much all season long. We'll come up final thoughts on a Throwback Thursday and an April Fool's Day next on Wake Up Call.